All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
This thing on? Is it working? Okay, we're good. It's been a while. What's up, everyone? Most importantly, what's up, Jay Foreman?
Hey,
long time no see.
Your brother said, is it all? Yeah, you live on stage, Jack. You know, you got hot mic.
Hot.
Yeah. Welcome back, Austin.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Glad
good to be
you
here.
Made it. Glad you're back. Old school is back in full effect on this hump day, on this Wednesday.
Who is the best fill-in?
The best fill-in?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Probably.
Does it not rhyme with Sick Nainert?
No,
didn't think so.
No. Nick was there in physicalness. He wasn't there. His mind wasn't right.
Last time Nick's mind was right was...
Better the two was all right.
Nick? But
yeah, he from Pius, though. He went to Pius, I think,
too. Oh, they both did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Factual.
Come on.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Can't escape him.
And they both act the same, too.
And as always, shout out Harrison.
Yeah. Harrison was all good.
Mr. Substitute Teacher.
Yeah. Harrison was pulling some graveyard hours, boy.
As he does. We appreciate
it. He's always on time, too.
6785. About time you came into work. Did you have a kid or something? Yeesh. Yeah. Funny enough. Eric, I'm a little disappointed not to have been called a part timer by you yet. Let me just put you on blast right now. First thing back. Cubs crew, welcome back. Congratulations on the birth of the kiddo. Really appreciate it. Yeah, no, mom, baby are doing great. Was observing in the background, but was not chiming in, was not sounding off. Sure your ears rejoiced, but sorry. No Christmas miracle. I am back to invade your eardrums again here for a few hours. Jay, lots to get to, as always. I don't want to just rehash the same things. I know you and everyone that, first of all, I'm so grateful for them and for you guys for giving me the opportunity. To take those 2 weeks. Thanks to everyone here at the station for being understanding, for filling in, for the food that got delivered. Shaky Jakey came through with a very nice package for us that we absolutely demolished. But man,
Jake Sorensen?
Yeah, Shaky Jakey. He came through. It's huge.
That means he got it from somebody.
I don't care who he got it from or where he got it from.
Nah,
he's the one that dropped it off. I'm not
Jake
giving him
Sorensen
full credit. Maybe it was. I don't
10%.
Know. Think of the full story. Either way. It was very appreciated. It was very great. Jay, I know you know this as a father, but there's just some memories you can't get back. You know, it was an opportunity that, you know, I had 2 weeks at home with mom, with baby, and with Becky. He helped me scoop the snow a couple times. Yeah. We had a blast. Went down to the park in his sled, walks, and just seeing him grow up for a couple weeks. I mean, those are legitimately memories that couldn't have had any other way. So from the bottom of my heart, Christmas really came early. So everyone at the ticket, everyone that filled in on old school, and you, my co-host, I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I'm happy for you, man. I mean, obviously, I'm way a little bit longer than that path of fatherhood, and it's always special, man, especially when you get to be able to be supported by your peers. So I'm happy for you, dude. I'm happy that you still got some energy. Because at this age of me, man, I think I'll be out for the count. I'll be trying to call in all types of reinforcements.
The Colts are calling in all types of reinforcements, and we will get to that next.
Yes,
I don't want to lead with that. I saw a couple of those come in here.
It did give me a little bit of energy in my workout, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
If this dude can do it.
Yeah, you know, hey.
He's at 10. He's a grandpa. He can do it.
I can get down for about 12, 15 plays like the best of them. After that, I don't know.
Special teams plays or base 4-3 plays?
Base 4-3. B-gap to B-gap. I got it covered.
C-gap, no thank you. Nope,
hey, that's what you guys get paid for. You guys got to do something now. I did my job. They ain't coming in the middle. You guys got handled outside.
I respect it. Also calling in reinforcements, Jay. Matt Rhule, Nebraska football.
Yeah.
Know you've talked about the hires a little bit. Want to sound off a little bit, I guess, first on the bowl matchup with Utah. I think, first of all, really fun matchup between two schools that aren't very familiar, like fifth all-time matchup. I guess big picture thoughts on the bowl, first of all, would be maybe a bad matchup right now for Nebraska, 270 rushing yards per game for Utah. But number two, I think even bigger picture than that, I think Utah's in the position that Husker fans wanted Nebraska to be. Knocking on the door of the playoff, one or two losses, it kept us out. And then, you know, happy to be going to a bowl again. but maybe disappointed in facing maybe a little overmatched team where Nebraska would be the favorite going in. I just think if Nebraska would have been in Utah's position entering this game, would have been a much different tenor than the one we have right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they've built a pretty good program out there in Utah, and obviously Nebraska's striving to be at or above, you know, teams like Utah, BYU, and all that stuff. And so even though you're getting ready to compete against them, you can learn, you know, from that competition, you know, pick up on some things that possibly they'd like to do. They'll be tough. You know, I know they have two potential first round picks at offensive tackle that might opt out and not play. That'd be great for Nebraska, but I think overall their team is pretty good. They got two good quarterbacks, hell of a running game. They got more than capable receivers. They got two tight ends. One's a freshman and one's a senior. Both of them are essentially just look like Kincaid. One looks like Kincaid as a freshman. Another one looks like Kincaid when he was a senior. And their defense has a ton of, they're aggressive, that, you know, so, you know, it's going to be a good battle. It's a great opportunity for Nebraska. Number one, you can go and beat a team like Utah. Well run, well coached, and very competitive team.
And Whittingham's a guy that's been on my list for Nebraska to take a look at some of the previous head coach openings. Kind of admired the way he's run a program for, obviously not now, but, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Well, even,
he's still one of my short list guys.
Even as a guy that you want, you know, like a university would want for 4 or 5 years, he could do it. He still has a lot of energy, but you know, he played at BYU, he's coaching at Utah. But then also, you know, they're ranked number 15. So it's a chance to, you know, be the ranked team and go into the offseason with true positive vibes, you know, like last year. But this, I think if they beat Utah this year, I think that it's more positive because I think Utah is significantly better than Boston College, even without the two tackles. So you get all that, and, you know, it kind of gives the new coaches and this is a new staff. So anytime you like add or subtract guys or add and subtract guys, I feel like your staff is starting over because the new guys have to mesh with the previous, you know, guys on the staff.
Yeah.
And then that's your new version of your offensive staff, defensive staff, special team staff, and your whole staff as a whole. So it's a ton of time, or it's a great opportunity. It's a unique opportunity in Nebraska going into year four, or the start of year four. That's what I call the bowl game season. And how they approach it both individually and collectively is going to, you know, tell you a lot.
You mentioned year four. Donovan Raiola got 4 years at Nebraska before he was let go. Jeep Waite from Georgia Tech comes in the door. Jay, I've kind of titled this segment for our people that are watching on stream, panicking or pivoting some of these moves. To me, the Donovan Raiola dismissal in the Jeep Waite hire was a pivot. It's a move that makes sense. I don't want to say we saw the writing on the wall because I'm not really sure what Matt Rhule was thinking throughout the year, but I do think the move makes sense. I think really because you have, you know, 4 years, you can really look at it as who did he develop? Yeah. Who got better? I'll give Donovan Raiola some credit for Justin Evans, a little bit undersized, started at guard, moved into center after different people left, and his plate. He's been fine. Hasn't been the issue on Nebraska's line. I'll give him half credit for Henry Lutovsky. Yeah. I will, right? This guy that wasn't really playing, then kind of burst on the scene when he moved inside to guard, got his chance, and then, you know, played pretty well.
Yeah.
Other than that, it seems like the guys that Donovan Raiola had in his room were already pretty much finished products that he couldn't squeeze much more juice out of, or some relatively highly touted guys that haven't seen the field yet.
Yeah.
You know, so I could have seen the argument for Nebraska keeping him, but I also think it makes sense to maybe pivot at this time.
Yeah, it's an opportunity he had to take, right?
Yeah.
If you, you know, the 4 years, if you just take out the last frost year, just because, you know, that was
counts, but doesn't.
You're just there, right? And so, you had a lot of holdovers that you know had to try to get better and more consistent. And for his argument's sake, you can't deny that he got more out of Bryce Benhart and them dudes than anybody else. That's
by far,
right? It got to the point that we were like surprised when he jumped off sides.
Right.
Now, coinciding with that, it was his idea to kick Henry in there to settle down Bryce. So that's two for one. And then you put Justin in there. And obviously he had Ben Scott in there before, who was a good player. He got, that was his guy out of the portal.
Right. Worth every penny for 2 years.
And then you had the rest of were holdovers. And so, you know, it's kind of weird, man. It's like, you got to take over the job at Nebraska when he had to, and you got penalized for previous. So you're judged, you're thrown in there with previous, because here's what people don't understand. This is what the fans don't understand. And then we'll get to Coach Wade, because he's really good too, is that when you have the same players, right, and the team is still, you know, you're year one, two, and three of a new coach, they're viewing it, they're still judging on off the past, because they're not going to give you any leeway unless they became All Americans.
Right.
So they don't even know how to look. And there's guys that's on air that don't understand that either. And that's what I'm real surprised at. Cause if you played, you understand it. Whereas like, you know, if you take guys if the best thing you could do is make them, you know, very, very consistent and not a detriment to your offense like last year, and then towards the year end of the year play pretty consistent, you got to give them credit there. But, you know, I think you pivoted. I think you only make a pivot or a move like that going from Coach Donovan to Coach Wade when you have a guy like Coach Wade that's willing to come.
It's a guy that Matt Rhule said he knew of, but never really got a chance to directly work with. Plenty of ties back to Nebraska's staff. You see 9 sacks allowed the last 2 years. Some of that, Jay, though, a byproduct of having a mobile quarterback and a guy like Haynes King, who was about as gritty as they come when it comes to that quarterback position, maybe an underrated arm just because his legs get so much of the focus.
Yeah. He was, I mean, it's a problem. I mean, they burst on the scene, obviously, against Florida State, and they beat him up pretty physically. And then obviously they were, in the last 2 years, they've been able to go toe to toe with Georgia. But I think Georgia obviously had, you know, just they're a better overall team. Right. And Coach Key at Georgia Tech is a offensive line coach by trade, or at least was at Alabama, and obviously well-respected in that, you know, realm. And so he signed off on Coach Wade. So, you know, it kind of just trickled down from him. And they were tough, man. I watched them. I was very impressed on both lines, but in particular the offensive line. You know, big guys that can move. They all looked in unison. The footwork was good. You know, they finished, and they were able to kind of, you know, make people tap out, you know, at times at Georgia Tech. Now, like you said, the 9 sacks are a byproduct of the RPO option. And when you have a running quarterback and you know when you're coming into a game that he can kill you with it with his feet, you know, your pass rush game and your pass rush attack is not
like not the same.
Not the same.
No.
But I'm not going to take anything away from him, because he played against some pretty good pass rushers down there, and they were able to hold up even when they had to throw the ball, because Haynes King threw the ball at a pretty good clip when he had to. And let's not forget that not this year, but I think last year, they threw the ball very, very effectively. And I think their leading receiver went in the portal, and I think he's at like Auburn.
Was it a Singleton guy that went to Auburn?
Yeah, he's at Auburn.
Yeah.
So it lets you know the passing game was good.
Yeah.
So you can judge him actually more off of 2 years ago than maybe this year, because the passing attack, you know, you lose Singleton. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, I think they have a good young crop of guys coming up, which you hate, you know, because I'm sure, you know, what people don't understand about offensive line is that it takes them 2 or 3 years to mature. You know, very rarely you're going to get a guy that comes right in as a freshman and then he continues to progress.
And that's where I think the 4 years, call it 3 years, for Donovan Raiola at Nebraska could have been that this year could have been that first real sign of, hey, the guys that I recruited, the guys that I knew, the guys that I brought in, they had their time to gel together as our second unit. We patched it together the first couple of years. Year 3 is supposed to be that step in the right direction to prove that I know what I'm talking about. My guys are taking my teaching and it's translating onto the field. Just didn't necessarily see that consistently. It was still kind of patchwork, injuries, all absolutely there. So that to me is maybe the biggest indictment, is that here in year 3, where you should be able to expect to have a Big Ten caliber line, it just wasn't there.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. But it's hard when you got a lot of redshirt freshmen, you know, and they just need to mature. And you know, the guys that are maybe more ready-made are still going to the schools that are already established in the offensive line.
Yeah.
And so I think Coach Wade, you know, I know he'll probably, you know, go and recruit some guys. I'm pretty sure he has some hotbeds that he's able to go tap into. But, you know, the guys that are still on the roster that are young, he's getting a pretty good young crop of offensive linemen. And so that's just part of the business. And you know, he'll do well for sure. And, you know, Coach Rhule says his philosophy or his coaching kind of matches up with Dana a little bit better. And that's, you know what, that just part of it. And, you know, I think he'll do well. I think he has a, you know, good young crop. It'd be interesting to see what happens with Pritchett after the bowl game. Because if you get him back, Justin Evans back, obviously both your guards are gone. And when you see where Gatula's at least if you're bringing back three and if you have some guys in the cupboard that could really make some noise and get in that top eight in that rotation, you like that.
You feel all right.
You feel good. And then obviously you go in the portal, but then you got three guys that you know that you have seen, home, let's call them homegrown and home developed, then you like where you're at. And so the biggest thing for him or for Coach Wade, I'm assuming, is being able to identify some linemen that he likes, right, out of the portal, and being able to get them.
It also brings in Lonnie Teasley as a really good recruiter with offensive line experience.
So he could kind of be your, you know, the Jack. He could help with maybe tight ends or whatever, run game or in recruiting. So those two guys, you know, putting their heads together, if one's a recruiter, one's a coach, you know, you could beef up that offensive line, you know, for, you know, a quick snapshot. But you can't fall in love with that process. The process has to be, you need, like I call it, a Mr. T starter kit. And then the other guys, you got to be able to have it stacked to where you have a stair step to when two guys leave, you got at least one guy coming in. You only have to go and get one guy out of the portal. And that's where you're getting it, being able to reload.
It's a lot of time talking offense. Let's do flip it over to the defensive side of the ball as well, Jay, on the defensive line. Terry Braden out, no replacement yet. Pivot or panic move?
Well, I think they're all pivoting. I don't think you panic. I don't think you panic. If this was next year and say we were like 4-8, that'd probably be panic. But sometimes at 4-8, you're like, all right, we had a lot of injuries. We actually played better than that. We're going to really hold steady. And probably a pivot. I think it's, again, you know, you're coming from the Chiefs, you know, late in the game, you know, off the Super Bowl. You know, you're trying to, you know, catch your bearings in recruiting. A very, very young, inexperienced defensive line, even with the type of work ethic that you need to be able to be effective, right? Where you got to be self-motivated, you know, showing up to practice, not to get through the practice, but to get better. It's an individual choice, and sure, the coach can bring it out of you.
The only reason I bring up panic
was
because of those kind of mitigating circumstances coming over late from the Chiefs, really first-time college assistant coach, you know, being in charge of a position group. And a guy that was down his unit's two best players. A lot of Clay
Now, even Jamari Butler.
MJ, Princewell gone, James Williams gone. Sure, I mean, look at all those guys that were out for a first-time coach. I can understand, you know, a little bit of a letdown from that group this year. Now, it doesn't look great when Matt Rhule says in the preseason his defensive line is going to be hell on wheels, and it wasn't. But then I went to the pivot as well on this move because of the John Butler move. John Butler out, Rob Orrick back in then. Again, I get the decision to let John Butler go. I do think it is a pivot as well, right? More of a 4-2-5 oriented scheme, but we know we've talked on this show plenty of times about how Nebraska could play plenty four down and five down guys and mitigate some of the issues with the three-man front maybe that fans were seeing. So there's, I think, the pivot. But where I think some of the panic was from fans is that, again, this is essentially a first-time play caller. Sure, he had a year and change calling plays before. John Butler did. Down that many important pieces up front. It looked really bad the last two games. A Penn State team that you could have knocked out of bowl eligibility, essentially for good, you go and essentially no show. Oh, it's going to be tough. They're plenty talented, but you didn't show. And then you know what I was going to do. And you're powerless to stop it. Some of that is okay, year one in a new scheme, a new guy, really a first-time coordinator. So I do want to give him, you know, a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that, hey, maybe it would have been better next year. But I can understand Matt Rhule saying, well, you know what? It didn't work. Doesn't look like you have the answers we thought you did. We got to move on, which to me makes the decision to move on from Tony White or to encourage him to go somewhere, whatever that was behind the scenes. Either way, you moved on from Tony White in some capacity for this. And you're now admitting 1 year later, it's a mistake. You don't want to keep with it, right? Sunk cost fallacy is a real thing. You can't just stick with it because you already paid for it and you committed to it. You got to make the move when the time is right to make the move. I see both sides. I think it's probably the right thing to do. But man, this is more of an indictment to me on last offseason than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you don't hire a coach not thinking, or you don't hire a coach thinking, oh, this isn't going to work. And, you know, I'm be hiring, you know, a coach next year, and unless you're the Houston Texans of a few years ago when we hired Dave Cawley and then Lovie right. Smith, and then finally we got our coach in D'Amico. So I doubt both of those moves and about $40 million is what you wanted to invest in. But so I think you probably, I think, you know, you got to look at it like, all right, look, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, a relationship. Okay, you got into it, things changed. And then once you kind of feel like you need to make a move, you got to make it. And especially if you have other options going forward. Now, I don't know what they're going to do. Coach Rule says he's not firing anybody else. Maybe they might do some reshuffling, I think, mm-hmm. according to Sipple. So we'll see who they have potentially.
The only guy that sounded safe was Addison Williams.
Well, everybody's safe that's on the staff now, because he says he's not firing anybody, no more than anybody else. That's what he said.
But a guy that he's held in such high esteem as Rob Dvorak, I would have thought would have gotten a mention.
Well, I think at that time they didn't have the coordinator picked.
Gotcha.
Right, but I think as he probably, I can't speak for him, I'm just going to assume, as he picked the coordinator, probably ran down the roster, guys, and the coordinator is like, I can work with that.
Sure.
So, sure. And I'm sure they might have met him, right?
So almost had to.
Yeah, so I think that's the way you go. And then so if they reshuffle stuff on defense, they got to get somebody in their coach D-line. Sounds like this guy's going to be more of a four-man front. Whiteboard Wednesday would tell you something different. It's going to be four-man front, and their four-man front would be a little bit different. Now, I will tell you, the way they play, at least with the guys that they had, they did a good job out there. You see some things distinctly that if Nebraska does it in the short term, they'll play better in the bowl game. Mm. And it's just about...
Even with Phil Snow coordinating?
Yeah. No, and this has nothing to do with the calls. This is getting off the ball, playing with the hands and extension, square pads, not catching blocks, trying to destroy blocks, knowing exactly where you're at. The edge is set on the one that we're going to go over. It's condensed. And so, you know, he's young, right? He hasn't called, you know, defenses in big boy league yet. This is where you got to lean on the rest of the defensive coaches. But, I think his personality, and if he puts a lot of work in, I think he'll be just fine. I don't think playing in the Big Ten will affect the way you call. I don't think it affect him, right? Because
maybe the final nail for John Butler.
I don't think it affected because he doesn't know any better, right? And he's been here and he's played. You know, he played at Minnesota Duluth. Mm-hmm. Got a little edge to him.
Do you like Duluth, the town?
It's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah, I'd drop 30 points up there before. Went home real quick. Got me a nice Big Mac and an extra cheeseburger for my. For my play.
A 30-piece nugget up there?
Yeah, Jamal had the 20-piece nugget.
Ah.
My dad was hyped, though. I think, we were bumping it, you know. But so he played. He's kind of worked his way up. You know, he's at Idaho and all that. I think this is a great opportunity for him. I mean, it's going to be a learning experience for him. I think he's young enough, got energy enough, and I think the way that he's going to want his defense play. If they just play with better fundamentals, that brings – that like the misses in. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then that's a different ball game to call defensive plays when those things are taken care of.
When you know what your guys are going to do, where they're going to be.
You got to be clear with it. He was a linebacker himself.
You like that?
Well, I like it because you're right in the middle. So you have to be respectful and honest and aware of what happens in front of you. And you definitely got to respect and be honest and be helpful of what happens behind you. So the way that he's going to call plays, everybody's going to be able to eat. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, it's a big, big jump for him. Obviously, he was impressive when he talked to Coach Rule. Mm-hmm. And this is a once in a lifetime opportunity, man.
Yeah.
So hopefully he knocks it out.
GBR Captain chiming in on YouTube. Appreciate it. B24 says, Jay out here looking like Jack Frost. It did get cold. Monday was great. Take a walk around to
it's been cold, to the park. Man. Listen, you guys can go out there and go out here in shorts today. That's fine. That's a personal choice. I support that. I'm gonna be nice and toasty.
I am right there with you.
Yeah.
You mentioned at the start of the show, Philip Rivers. He's back.
He's back.
I got to sound off on this.
One of the best trash talkers of all time is back.
Come on.
I love it.
Hey, Ron. Ron!
Yeah.
Don't roll your eyes at me, Ron!
Yeah.
Uncle Phil, he's home for the holidays. We'll talk about it. That's right. Welcome back into Old School. Austin Norman and Jay Foreman here. And Jay, I did neglect. I'm out of practice. I'm rusty. I apologize. Eric says, this is grilling weather. If you are going to grill, Jay, where are you going to get the goods?
I'm going to get it at the Mercado. Certified Piedmontese, special ingredients, a butcher shop, four locations, three in Lincoln, one in Omaha, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andermatt / Old Cheney, and 168th and Maple up there in the O.
The place to go.
Yeah, I got a text here that said my hair is wild.
You going to put the person on blast or not?
No, it's all good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk some Philip Rivers then. Man. His hair is almost as gray as yours. He doesn't have any left coaching high school football. And coming back to the Colts, potentially. I mean, he's on the practice squad. And today at the press conference, Shane Steichen did absolutely nothing to shut down the idea that Philip Rivers could be starting for the Indianapolis Colts. Riley Leonard was a full participant in practice today. The reason this came to fruition, of course, was because Leonard had some tightness, some funny feelings in his knee after his mop-up duty against Jacksonville. But Jay, let's just start with your initial reaction when you heard the Colts had reached out to Philip Rivers.
I was like, dang. Well, first of all, I always thought that Philip Rivers retired way too early.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
He was phenomenal for the Colts.
24 tutties, 11 picks, yeah. And still their most recent playoff appearance.
Yeah, so I would have liked to see him. I like Philip Rivers. I think he just a dog. But, I mean, I was like, man, this dude been out the league four or five years. You that desperate. That's an indictment on every quarterback walking the face of the earth right now. Every backup quarterback is letting you know.
Someone put out a really good tweet about that I bookmarked to bring up here, too. The Philip Rivers stuff is so dark for the sport of football. The NFL and college football have so neglected quarterback development while defensive coverages and schemes have evolved that a fat grandpa is better option than any team's QB3. If his body is even close up to speed, I agree with the Colts that it's probably the right football move, and I hate that the average young quarterback looks at a 2025 NFL defense and has no clue what they're seeing.
That's 1,000% factual. I've said this, and I keep saying it. But teams keep, just going, coin flip and drafting these quarterbacks, knowing dang well there ain't going to be any good, and especially after their first year, because the second year is really when they jump, they really get your weaknesses. And you spend all offseason on Instagram and TikTok, and everybody's devising schemes to stop you in the NFL. And so, Philip Rivers, I think what really happened, I think J.J. Watt tweeted about it, that him and Shane Steichen are pretty good friends. He runs the Colts offense, so they talk at least once a week.
Yeah, they were together for 6 years in San Diego.
Yeah, so they're, he's familiar with it. I mean, he's picking up the playbook and knowing what he's going to do. The best is the funniest thing they were asked about moving around. He said, look, let's be honest. Before I retired, when I walked off the field, I couldn't run nobody. I ain't doing that. So he knows what the deal is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's but now they got that running game going.
An offensive line that's been pretty good, a couple shaky moments here and there, but generally solid.
And they're going to uptick it, and he's going to come in, and he's going to command the huddle. I hope he gets to start. I can't wait to watch him, man.
Cubs Girl says, I feel like Uncle Phil saw his kids' Christmas lists and said, oh boy, I got to get back to
That's
work.
That's exactly what it was.
Philip Rivers has enough kids to start his own doggone football team. I really come up with three rationales for this. Number one is love of the game. Maybe Philip Rivers just loves football, loved his time in Indy, and appreciated Shane Steichen so much that, you know what, this is the call. Because don't forget, the Niners were going to call Philip Rivers to start for them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Had they made it. Eagles make it, and the rest is history. Okay, so there's that. Number two, 10 kids and a grandkid. That's too much on my plate. I got to get out of the house a little bit. Back to the office it is for me. Or number three is a Catholic parish down there in Alabama said, hey, Phil, we're a little light. You go get a couple game checks and slide us a little here?
Yeah, what was it called?
Tithing's under.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. And also he sees an opportunity. I'm sure Shane Steichen sends him tape of the quarterbacks after.
Oh, they talk every week.
Right. Yeah. But he's probably watching the backup.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to train. He trained Riley Leonard for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Right, man. I can do that.
That's all you're asking him to do?
That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
And you got Jonathan Taylor. And oh, yeah. Sign me up. And that defense is bringing it, too?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I wish they could do that for some linebackers, man.
Hembo from ESPN says, because I've been asked a dozen times today about Philip Rivers, players that have played as a grandfather, Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Okay. Julio Franco in baseball, Gordie Howe in hockey, and then Stan the Man Musial in baseball as well.
That's it.
Now, quarterbacks over 40.
Oh, Jay, yeah.
Here's an interesting list. Okay, the fifth quarterback in NFL history to start a game at age 44. Philip Rivers would be number five. Can you name the previous four?
Was Brady.
Brady.
Steve DeBerg.
Steve DeBerg, who came out of essentially semi-retirement to play for the Falcons, who ended up making the Super Bowl. That's my favorite part of that stat. Yeah. So this is a really good omen for the Colts.
Yeah, he was doing TV as wasn't Philip Rivers. And then
Rivers has yet to start, but he would be the fifth. You're missing two.
Is George Blanda?
It is not George Blanda.
What's the guy? His last name starts with an M, right?
Yep.
Is it Merrill or something like that?
Different M guy.
It's not Joe Montana. No, it's not.
Warren Moon.
Warren Moon.
Okay, missing one.
I don't know.
Vinny Testaverde.
Vinny, that's right. And got the smoothest shag of all I've ever seen. I met Vinny 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I met him on the field, but met him afterwards, man. He's a cool dude. Flies his own plane.
Dang.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Got the shag back there. Got the side. Got the so low on the side. Got that flow in the back. Because remember, the Jets got him out of retirement, and he was living in Tampa, and he flew up.
Yeah.
So it's happened before.
Ben on our Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line says, when Philip Rivers was a rookie, he had a teammate that was born in the 60s. How about this? You know the game 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
Okay. Tyler Warren's degrees of Kevin Bacon number to Walter Payton is 2. Tyler Warren played with Philip Rivers, who played with Doug Flutie, who played with Walter Payton.
Wow.
You can connect Tyler Warren to Walter Payton in 2 players.
That's crazy.
You know who threw Michael Pittman Jr.'s first touchdown, right? Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers. Yeah. I remember that.
So how did we get here, Jay? How did the Indianapolis Colts get here? We can go all the way back.
Where is Anthony Richardson?
Oh, we are getting there, Jay. He is still on IR with an orbital bone fracture, suffered due to a resistance band in the locker room. How perfect could this have been for Anthony Richardson? Cast off, doubted again, put to the sidelines. Guy they signed on a 1-year prove-it deal is going to come in. He's balling out. He gets hurt. Here's your chance. Except for a stupid piece of rubber. It flies off, breaks your eye like 3/4 of the season ago. And it's still touching.
He can't come back?
You're still on IR.
He can't wear a visor?
They haven't opened their window.
They don't want to.
They don't want
that window's closed. They treating him like Pocket Hercules down there in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you're good. You have a good Christmas.
So Anthony Richardson is on IR. DeForest Buckner just got his 21-day window opened today. Very limited in practice. Okay, key part of the defense, but injuries happen. Let's talk about the other signings then, Jay. Charvarius Ward, high-profile offseason signing. Comes off the tragedy with his young child last year. Contemplates retiring after concussions. Says, no, no, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to Indy. Mooney's back. We're playing. Gets hit by his teammate in pregame warm-ups.
Yeah.
Suffers a concussion. immediately comes back and gets another concussion.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a high-profile guy. And we're not done yet. How about this? You give up 2 first-round picks for Sauce Gardner. That's what we need. We need another corner. We had 7 guys go on IR and in the defensive back room in preseason. We're going to go trade for one of the best young corners in the game, give up 2 first-round picks to do it. Oh, now, by the way, he's out with a leg muscle injury, calf of some sort. His status still TBD. Did not practice here today. Oh, and now your former MVP candidate at quarterback is out, and you're signing Philip Fricking Rivers, who does, to answer your question on the text line, reset his Hall of Fame eligibility clock another 5 years.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be worth that. You better be paying me a lot of money for these next 4 or 5 weeks.
Man.
We got breaking news, though.
Oh, do we now?
According to the text line, 2366, Michigan has fired Sharon Moore.
Hello. I mean, goodbye. Sorry. Wow.
Well, this just blows up the whole show. Because what the heck are you...
Oh, here we go. Ross Dellinger. Michigan has fired Sharon Moore for a violation of university policy. The dismissal is for cause. A university investigation uncovered off-the-field transgression.
I know what the cause is, too.
You didn't win enough games.
No. No, it was not. He was doing too much.
Too much dip on the chip?
Dip on the chips.
Chips.
I was listening to, after they lost to Ohio State, they were talking about, there was, you know how they have the local guys, and he was talking about the university. There was it was kind of like a Title IX, but it just really morphed into for cause. There's some outside the office activities. Mm. So he got some heat when he gets on to the crib.
Oh, no, sure.
That's a long ride home.
No. Oh, so, no, we can't be doing
couldn't happen to a better dude. Listen, I saw him down, saw him down at Big Ten Media Days. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Oh, strutting his stuff.
He's a former offensive lineman with skinny jeans on, mm-hmm. no socks, and penny loafers.
Sharon, you're not true to yourself. We'll go to break. Let's talk more about this draft. Okay, let's get back to it. Sharon Moore fired by Michigan. This Sharon. Is... Old school, Os Norman J. Foreman. For cause is what he was fired for. And this is from Brandon Marcello reporting what AD Ward Manuel said for Michigan. An internal investigation uncovered, quote, credible evidence that Sharon Moore engaged in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. This conduct constitutes a clear violation of university policy, and UM maintains zero tolerance for such behavior, end quote. All right. Yep. Sharon thought you could get away with it since you're the head guy. Well, just kidding. You have bosses as well.
Yeah, he's trying. I don't even know what to say, man. That's personal business. Can't feel sorry for him, man. You know what the deal is. I'm sure, you know, he probably got a little bit of regret right now.
So, Chad Henne, Michigan head coach?
Probably a long ride. Chad Henne. Is he on the staff?
I'm just throwing names out there.
They in trouble.
Denard Shoelaces Robinson, Michigan head coach?
They always love Michigan men. They're going to have to, I mean, this
Blake
is
Blake Corum's not playing.
Mm. Hazel Bear says it's a setup. There ain't no setup.
No.
Throw more.
No, not that one. Not that one.
During his off time, he's been active. He been
his off time was not off.
He was getting active.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to go. I mean, Penn State got lucky. Penn State was on a scavenger hunt. And you know how they had the timer when you played a video game, and like back when we used to play PlayStation, controller would like shake a little bit, and it started to, you know, shake more.
Oh, yeah.
You get tons, and then they found it, and they got Matt Campbell.
Do you believe the report that they reached out to him? It went to an old agent. He just never forwarded the information on. That's what I thought. I didn't believe it either.
Hey, well, my dad. When I used to try to tell my dad something, and he knew I was lying, or he had done it before, and I didn't. Dice it up. He had his glasses, and he would look really. That's how I'm gonna look at you. There's no way in the world. First of all, okay, let's just say that you reached out to him and to the wrong agent. Mm-hmm. The agent would say, "I don't represent him anymore." Or let me guess, the agent isn't in business anymore. Well, you would find out that way. If you really wanted Matt Campbell, you would call his office or somebody that you know would accidentally run into him. And he would find out. There'd be a way.
Yeah.
You would.
You know someone who has an agent who can talk to an agent.
There's probably 5 prominent coaches' agents.
Yeah.
You know all of them. Hey, you got Matt Campbell? Search for him. Do you know who Matt Campbell? He just signed an extension.
Yeah.
So there is some paperwork that he has somebody to represent. That's BS. Now back to Sharon, our Michigan. Penn State got lucky. Michigan, you're not going to get lucky. Hey. Now you're getting the payback off of the cheat gate or whatever with your boy Connor Stallions. And there's nobody out. Now, Penn State had slim pickings and finally got back to the coach that they probably should have tried to hire in the first place. Michigan, they're a little low on funds, number one.
They're holding out against getting more funds as well. They killed that.
Who are you going to hire next year or right now? Who?
Is this a Clark Lea job?
You know what? That might be the only place. That'd be your saving grace to get him.
That's the best I can come up with right now.
Because his identity fits Michigan. Offensive line, tough and physical. You could say, hey, look, dude, you've taken, you know, Vanderbilt to a whole nother stratosphere. You probably have maybe a coach in waiting that you can leave behind so you can have your, like, legacy. And then you can take majority of your staff up there and restart up there. He fits it. He looks like a Michigan. He's a tough dude. 0970 Biff.
Biff Pogi.
We've seen him. He can coach, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can coach. So
Tom Brady? Sell a stake in the Raiders? And
be the head coach? He could be the GM.
He could. Apparently, he's not doing much for the Raiders.
No, he's the owner.
Yeah.
They try to blame every mistake on him, but it's not happening.
Teflon Tom.
Urban Meyer would never go to Michigan.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Dude, he's already hated right now. If he went to Michigan, I mean, but if there's somebody I can see him doing it. I like him, or maybe was it Brent Key from Georgia Tech?
Interesting.
I think if you go up to Michigan, you got to be able to build across the offensive line. Both of them have done it.
Yeah.
That's the main reason I say those two.
Do you think Michigan might just take an interim guy?
Yeah, you got Biff right there to get you through the bowl game.
I'm saying like for next year. Can you afford a gap year to?
You could do that with Biff. Candidates? You could convince him. He likes his ice cream. I think you could do that with Biff.
What if you bring in like a David Shaw for a year?
I could see that as well.
I don't know if you do it for just a year.
If you bring in David Shaw, you might as
well. He's in Detroit, passing game coordinator.
You might as well keep him for a while.
Yeah.
I like David Shaw. I like
the old San Francisco flight tracker back in 2015.
It
was the thing.
His teams were tough, man. They'll have some choices. They have to decide if they're going to try to have a gap year or not. Railroader Matt says Lincoln Riley. 1171 says Brian Kelly. I think Brian Kelly would actually do well up there.
Could. But
that's probably more his flavor.
That would make me sick to my stomach. I mean, the things that Brian Kelly has done and not done, now that, you know, he's alone and coaches, but it's a perfect fit, like villain and villain. But for him to act like that and then fall into the Michigan job, make me sick to my stomach.
If he's had some sort of, like, I wouldn't even say it's not rehab, but like reality, and got back to the Brian Kelly that was in Cincinnati, maybe the best version of him.
Yeah.
I just don't know how he treated alum at LSU if that's just not who he is.
And I mean, at this point, how can it not be who he is?
And if you try to do that in Michigan, you might as well not even go up there. So you might think Clark Lea or Key.
Kip thinks Zach Taylor is going to be available.
To go to Michigan?
Yeah. Meh. Eh.
I don't think it fits.
I agree.
I think he's a good coach, though.
Bryce Underwood, Michigan starting quarterback next year or no?
I'd be in that portal like a mug. I'd be winning.
Even with that money?
You going to get that. I'll be in the portal. Well, I'm not leaving my check now.
Technically, he can't enter until they hire the new coach. Got 15 days after they hire the new coach.
Yeah, I know, but my uncle can call around and see what's popping. I mean, I wouldn't mess up my check because he was getting $2.5 million a year.
Yeah.
Well, I need three. This dude said Mike Tomlin. PJ Fleck? Mike Tomlin. Why would Mike Tomlin?
No. I don't hate PJ Fleck.
No.
Tomlin's not doing that.
PJ Fleck is. No.
No. Fleck's more believable. I still think if Michigan wants to make a splash as much as they can, they go get Lee.
I think you get Clark Lee.
Yeah.
Or Key.
How bad does James Franklin wish he didn't go to Virginia Tech? No, I mean that's a great fit for him. They need him. He needs them.
It is.
You can't sit back and assume that Michigan's going to come open. I mean, he waited long enough for Florida State. That's when he must have really wanted. That didn't happen. Virginia Tech should be good for him.
Yeah, I'd be a little remorse though.
Is there though? I mean, after all the time Michigan beat Penn State.
This guy. Dude, but hey, you building that Virginia Tech, you coming fully loaded from Michigan.
Dan Mullen from Jacob, no. B24, Jimbo, no. I'm not seeing Jimbo in Michigan. I do not believe that for a second.
That wouldn't fit.
PJ Fleck long before either of those. How about Jonathan Smith? Might still be in town.
You might try to get Harbaugh back.
Well, what would Jim Harbaugh have to do in the NFL to make him run back to college with the show cause that he has? How bad would it have to be for Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, I don't know.
Someone did throw out John Gruden.
Yeah, I don't know. John Gruden, I don't know. Do you think he'd be good coach in college?
No, yeah. I don't think so. I mean, maybe an analyst. Maybe a quarterback's coach.
I think he'd be a good coach. It'd just be better of his... His assistant coaches.
Always. Oh, yeah. That's a key determinant. Folks, lucky you, you're doubling up on Whiteboard Wednesday. We're doing a basketball Whiteboard Wednesday before a football Whiteboard Wednesday. We'll talk some Nebraska, Wisconsin before we chat with Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald coming up here in the next hour. And then a look at the new defensive coordinator for Nebraska, his scheme, how San Diego State ran it to really great effect this last year. Two more hours, two more Whiteboard Wednesdays. We're next.